Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Today really is Friday, April 4th, 2008. Today's episode is number 40. Simon, here we go. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is episode 40, Simon. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. The song you just heard was Dandelion by the symphonic music of the Rolling Stones. I like that song, especially this time of year. Spring is definitely in the air. And looking out, you can see the snow is melting here in Minnesota, and the dandelions are the first to show their sunny face. I can hardly wait. By the way, did you know that dandelions were really healthy? They are. They are. You've heard of people eating dandelion greens? They are very healthy. As a matter of fact, those tap roots go way, way down into the earth and pull up a lot of minerals. So just some healthy trivia for you. So I love that song. Anyways, a couple of things here of information. Be sure to go to the show notes, which are located at the blog, and that is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. Now, this message, Simon, I was under the impression that it was about Simon the Apostle, who is called Peter, but it's not. It's about Simon of Cyrene, and Simon of Cyrene is who carried the cross for Jesus. And as you know, we're continuing the series of Pastor Paul's Faces About the Cross. We've been doing two messages each week on Friday and on Sunday. So today's Friday's message is actually about Simon of Cyrene. Now, in an earlier episode under Heroes, Faces About the Cross Heroes, I put some information about Simon of Cyrene because he was a hero around the cross. So I'm just going to repost that information on the show notes this time as well. So you'll be able to see that. And then I hope you do join us on Sunday for the message, which is going to be called No Hearts. That is the message, No Hearts. So I haven't listened to that one. I'll be listening to that today and actually recording that podcast today as well. I've got a lot going on this weekend. I'm getting ready to go to Arizona for the shop.org marketing workshop. And this is 1 year. So I have been going to the conferences, forums, workshops, with shop.org for a year. I've learned so much and I'm looking forward to this one. This will be my 1 year anniversary. So it was 1 year that I was, you know, really influenced to do the podcast, the blog, Twitter, and all of these new media applications. So our website as well has changed a little bit. And if you go there, it's www.pastorpaul.org. You'll see up at the top of the homepage interactive links. Now, because I've been kind of doing a little of this, a little of that, trying to kind of learn all of this as well, a little bit more needs to be developed. So you'll see at Flickr, we have only a few pictures. I need to spend some time uploading some pictures. And Twitter, I've been kind of active on that because it's just so much fun. Twitter is an application where you can just answer the question, what are you doing? And that's been fun. So you can check out the Twitter. So I kind of do Twitter quite a bit. And then it's a good way to post that the blog or that you have new information. I have new podcasts going so people can go to that. So Twitter is really fun. So if you aren't familiar with Twitter, I'll put a link in the show notes to Twitter. The blog is really hosted, and thank you to Blogger.com. If you want to start a blog, just go to blogger.com, sign in, start a blog, and away you go. You can just kind of journalize there. So I'll put a link to Blogger as well. So that is something I learned at shop.org as well. And what else do we have? Our store. Our store is under construction. Well, that's just saying that. I haven't had time to do anything with it. And so I'm going to see if, since I'm going to shop.org, you know, I mean, I should have our store up, right? Well, let's hope so. Anyways, so I'm going to see if I can have it up and going. And that is something that I actually is the reason we went to shop.org, because of the store. We had some products in the store and we needed to be able to market them and get the word out online that we did have a store. So at this point, we still have the store, and we have been kind of focusing more on podcasting than we have on the store. So we're going to have to kind of get more involved in the store and put some products on there. So you will be able to go to the store. I'll put that in the show notes as well. And I think that's kind of all of the new media, or I should say the social marketing, whatever it's called. I am learning so much. My head is spinning. Anyways, that's a whole nother message. What else do we need to know? What do we need to know? I think I'm not using any show notes. I'm kind of using my brain and it is loaded. Oh, you can send us a check. Yes. How can I forget that? You know, everything is on my mind but money. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe I'm not interested in it, but those of you who are interested in money, you can send a check and be sure to sign it. Or you can leave a donation on the homepage. And that, again, oh, can you believe it? Right in the middle. Well, I'm going to just go for it. Anyways, wouldn't you know when I'm asking for money, I get interrupted. How about that? Anyways, send us some money, okay? All right, let's get on with Simon of Cyrene. You're going to like it. In fact, it's about being interrupted. Simon is interrupted. Isn't that corny? I better go. Could be a bad message. How about that? Pastor Paul's mission is calling me and they didn't leave a message. Okay, well, that's good. Enjoy the message. And let's put it this way. If your life is interrupted, just go for it. You know, you can't have that strict of a schedule that you can't be called to do something else, can you? I guess interruptions can be good.
Today's message is entitled Simon. We've been ministering about people that are around the cross for 8 weeks now. And you know, I found myself in every one of them. From the worst to the best. The scene today is Jesus and two outlaws struggling up a hill toward Calvary. Get the scene now. Every muscle in their body is screaming, and I can relate with that from yesterday. Every vein in their neck and forehead pounding. And this is what I got out of that yesterday. Their mouths are dry, and their eyes are burning. And then remember back that Jesus had already been beaten beyond recognition. Now at the very same time, a man called Simon was coming up from another direction. He is from Africa. He has come to the feast. And he's eager and expectant. And he wants to get out there where he can smell the streets, and he can see the streets and hear the sounds, and all these things sort of thrill him. But anyway, as he approaches the city, a crowd is coming up from another direction. It has sort of a strange noise about it. Did you ever know instinctively sometimes something was wrong because the crowd had a strange noise about it? Sort of a weird, scary, spooky noise about it? It takes him back in his mind to the jungles of Africa. Those sounds that came just before the kill. But anyway, he is curious, so he runs up and asks, "What's going on? I mean, what's happening here?" "Well, we're going to Calvary," and the people are all excited. "We're going to execute these prisoners. They have sinned." "Uh-huh." And their eyes are all weird and full of excitement. You ever seen crowds like that? Get all excited, and things can be, you know, people can be being hurt, and they're all excited about it. "But they've sinned, haven't you heard? Everybody else knows about it." But the young Simon, you see, has never seen a civilized execution. And so he is very excited. And oh, they have so much scripture to go with it. Boy, these people are quite religious. And so he starts to push his way through the crowd for a better look and see. Do you ever do that yourself? You're just so interested in what's going on, you just got to push your way past everybody and get in there to find out what's going on. I want to know what's happening, that kind of an attitude. How many have in their life, sometime in their life, had that attitude? But anyway, he makes it and he has a ringside seat right up front. And what he sees shocks him. He sees three men carrying crosses far too heavy for any one man to bear. Especially, he notices, for the bleeding one. And he also notices that the robbers are exchanging spit and curses and jokes with the crowd. And he says, I have to admire their hardness and adjustment to their fate. But then the other prisoner he notices is so different. His face is not hard at all. It's a face that has pity mixed with sorrow and pain, and he doesn't answer the crowd. And he doesn't spit back, and he doesn't curse back, and he doesn't joke back. He doesn't answer the crowd or the religious, legal, no mercy shown people that were there, and they're always there when they smell blood. Yeah, I'm talking about the church. Simon also sees that this man is no way going to be able to carry this cross all the way up to Calvary. He's lost so much blood, he thinks. Right then and there, while he's thinking that very thing, Jesus goes down on his knees and then he falls off on his face. Under the weight of the cross. By now the crowd is truly crazy. Hey, you're going to see crazy crowds, crazy like you've never seen before, come the end. Pushing and shouting and fighting and this rights and that rights and so on. You're in our neighborhood, and you shouldn't be in our neighborhood, and neither should you be in our... And you're going to see some things just like what I'm talking about today. But the crowd is truly crazy. Past any kind of pity. Well, can we be like that crowd? Oh, you bet. You bet, for the grace of God, any one of us could join right in with that hellish crowd. Anyway, Simon thinks, if this is civilized, if this is justice, let me return to the law of the jungle. Bring on the lions. Instead of the clowns, they're already here, huh? So he turns and he starts to walk away, disgusted. Then something happens that changes the whole of his life. A very rough, hard hand comes down on his shoulder. And he turns to see who it is. It's a battle-hardened, scar-faced Roman soldier. And he says with great authority, you, make yourself useful. Take up that cross and get going. And the expression on his face, he doesn't say anything, he's shocked out of words. The expression on his face, and we've all had this expression, who, me? Surely this soldier must be speaking to someone else, and he looks around. He's self-talking now. Do you ever get to self-talking? Sometimes when fear comes on you, you don't talk or you don't say a word, but you get to self-talking. I'm just here as a visitor, he's talking to himself now. Why should I be called on to bear a criminal's cross? And so while he's thinking all of this, you see his body responds to that self-talk. And he jerks away. Just like a cat, this Roman soldier is around in front of him with his sword drawn. Meaning he was quick. He was right there. Now, you see, Simon sees he must obey. This man means business. And all self-communication ceases. See, you can even stop talking to yourself when authority speaks, and you know it. I wonder how we're going to react when we get into those kind of situations, challenges. Either do this or this will happen type things. And so he shoulders the cross and reaches down and roughly grabs Jesus and jerks him up. Now he's on his feet. And he starts up the hill toward Calvary. Now, Simon's experience, I have to say here now, is quite unique. Here he comes to visit, meets up with a crowd while he was going down to see the sights of the city, and then he is ordered to bear the Lord's cross. But I thought, but while there is that about this story that is unique, there is also that about it that makes it common to countless thousands. And so today you're going to be able to relate, as I do, with myself and with others, to this great story. You know, the first thing I see in Simon's story is that he is thoroughly human. Here he is in Jerusalem to have a good time, maybe send a few postcards home, visit the synagogue, check out the market, do a little shopping, when all of a sudden all of his life plan has changed, like right now. He is going in a direction he never anticipated. Kind of like ourselves sometimes, isn't it? Compelled, the Bible says, to carry a cross. And oh, you know, he's angry. It's messing up his new and latest Jerusalem fashion clothes. I mean, he's thinking, my wife and my kids will wonder what's happened to me. But the Bible says he is compelled to carry this hateful burden. And he does hate it. Now, I guess we'll all have to admit that life often does such things to all of us. Something that we very much hate. And all of a sudden, through probably not too much fault of our own, here we are going another road. We don't like it. Maybe the family doesn't like it. Maybe they're sitting home. Maybe they're waiting. But life, I said, often does such things to all of us. And so some of us here today, and some of you listening to this tape or radio message later on, some of us know exactly how to sympathize with Simon. I think there are those of us that have chosen a road long, long ago, and we're still on it. I had countless friends that were on the cirrhosis liver road. Some of them have fallen off that road. Some are still going on that road. Or the wandering road. You remember that song, or am I too old for all you people here? Wandering. You remember? Who knows that song, Wandering? You remember that song? Anybody? Wandering, wandering, all alone. Huh? Or the happy wanderer. Or the married road. Some of us never thought we'd ever get married. Or the unmarried road. But anyway, many of us had great plans, I'm sure, about ourselves in the beginning. What do you want to be when you grow up? How many had people ask you those questions? I look back at it now and I think that some of the people that asked those questions, they didn't even know what they were doing. Huh? What are you going to be when you grow up? And they hadn't grown up themselves. But I think all of us have had our plans interrupted from 1 to 50 years or forever. That's why I think movies are so popular. We can get into fantasy. We can leave the mundane things of this world and we can kind of Superman, huh? We can, or Batman, or that's why those movies are so popular. That's why we enjoy the trumps of life, and I just use him to gather them all together. And as we chumps watch them on TV, stale popcorn in one hand and a Joker card in the other. Yeah, we like to fantasize. If I had my life to live over. Well, you don't. Man is given once to live and once to die. Take it or leave it. No, you can't leave. You have to take it. Now, my road has had many interruptions in it. The unexpected came along. How many have had the unexpected come into their life? Well, of course. And it's interrupted my thoughts until I would have a real hard time remembering what it was I was originally after. Well, you might make a plan and then a baby comes. Well, then when baby walks, then we'll do that plan. But then another one comes and another one comes and another one comes. Right? Well, I mean, that's life, isn't it? I remembered as I was getting this together here a young man called Joseph. And that he was leaving his father's tent to go down and visit his brothers down there in Dothan. Though he was so happy and he was so young. I could really relate with that. I could really go back in my life. I don't think I stopped skipping until I was 25. No, I mean it. So full of hope and so full of dreams. And he was saying to himself, and I can relate, I know exactly what I want in my life. I'm going to be the head of the family clan. I'll be the chicest of the sheiks like they've never seen before. But then his cruel brothers see him skipping down I've Got It All Together Lane. In his coat, the Bible says, of many colors that his father had presented to him. And they all turn one color, green. Oh, here comes a little dreamer now. And look at his new threads. So the Bible says they tear off his coat and throw him in an old well. I think their plan was to drop rocks on his head until he stops yelling, "Father, Father!" Huh? See, one of the brothers has a head for business and he said, "Hey, here comes some merchants. Let's sell him. Let's sell daddy's little darling boy to them. Plus, then the blood won't be on our hands, don't you see?" And he talks him into it. I mean, hey, 30 pieces of silver isn't hard to swallow, right? Now, I don't know if it was 30 pieces. I'd like to hope it is. Amen, they all agree. I wonder right now today how many unholy sellouts are sealed with an amen. Amen, brother. Those people ought to go to jail. Amen. We have that wonderful opportunity to show mercy and we don't show it. I mean for all parties involved. And ourselves included. Amen. I mean in an age when we have limitless opportunities to give mercy and we say, sell them out so we can get on with the job of saving souls. Who wants to get saved by such a terrible group of unforgiving people? Well, let's get on with the business of saving souls and teaching them mercy and forgiveness and love and forgiving 70 times 7 and so on. And judge not. I mean, our Father is so blind sometimes. Let's help him out. And so today, like then, they sell them down the river. Anyway, down the Nile goes Joseph towards a dungeon. And you know what? It turns into a palace. Which came, by the way, of serving and doing the will of God. Can any of you relate? Sometimes when people sell you down the river, you're way better off. That's where that's... I wonder if that did come from there. They sold them down the river. And so you see, life did for Joseph somewhat as it did for Simon. I wonder how many are living a life in prison right now. I mean real prison. Because something came into their life unexpected. And I wonder how many are saying, oh my God, what happened? Or in an iron lung, came on them just like that. Or with cancer, or with AIDS. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to say, they asked for it. It's God's wrath coming down upon them all. He must have done something wrong. That's why you're in the iron. That's why you have cancer. That's why you have AIDS. That's why you're a paraplegic in a wheelchair. Or maybe you're a single mom with six kids living in a flea-riddled, roach-ridden, faucet-leaking, plaster falling, colder than is bearable, rat infested, never see the landlord until the rent is due, place. Maybe you're living in a place where the children have to stuff cotton in their ears so that the roaches won't lay eggs in there and damage their hearing. What happened? What came into your life? Change that whole thing. Now, I'm talking crosses, folks. Are you listening? And you listening on to this tape? Have you got a shoulder to bear some of these burdens? Or can't you be interrupted just yet? Want to be interrupted, not just yet. Hold off now. Are you willing to change your plans? But see, not only were Simon's plans changed, not only was he compelled to go in a different direction from that of his own choosing, but he was compelled to bear a burden not his own. Think about that. Compelled. I mean, he was sure that this burden that put Jesus face down in the street was none of my affair. I mean, it isn't something he would have chosen to do. Take on this shameful burden. Someone he didn't even know. But see, the Bible says he didn't have any choice in the matter. He was compelled, the Bible says. Now, being compelled, this burden was no more than a tormenting burden. Later on, it becomes a cross for him. Because, see, he came to bear it willingly later on. What he had once borne, not of choice, but of compulsion. Isn't that also a very human experience? Well, later on down the line, because you're compelled to do a certain thing, he learned to love it. That interruption, you say, oh, God knew what he was doing. Save me from jail and being a drug freak or whatever. Later on. But at the time, you don't want to look at it. See, you don't want nothing to do with that because you feel like, hey, life gave me a dirty hand here. And so I think that's a very human experience. Years ago, from kindergarten on, I knew this family, the Conways. And I went to kindergarten with a little Jimmy Conway, and we fought and played together all the way through high school. Anyway, he had a sister named Betty that was a couple of years older than we were. And the father had left all the children, so the mother was there, and there was five, one brother, four sisters, and Betty was the oldest of them all. She was to be married. But then her mother fell ill, and the father wasn't around, so she postponed it. I'll just have to postpone, you'll just have to wait. And the man waited for about a year, and then he took off. She never did get married. The last time I heard about the Conways and Betty, seems that the house had caught on fire and Betty ran back in to save her mother and perished in the fire. When they found Betty's burned body, she had her mother in her arms. And so thus life often wrecks our plans and puts on our shoulders burdens not our own. I wonder how many people there are that should be having medals for the things that they've done and they don't get recognition. One. Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, the champion of the world. Okay, well, how many people are champions out there raising families all by themselves? And they'll never get any recognition down here. How many people have dedicated their whole life towards something, maybe overseas in Africa or China or something like that, they'll never get recognized? Spend half of their life slapping mosquitoes. That would be hell enough, wouldn't it? Sometimes I wonder just how shallow that we can get when there's heroes out there. They're all over. Those that think they're going to be last will be first, and those that think they're going to be first will be last. I wonder how many heroes are out there, unsung. But anyway, getting back to Simon, What was Simon's reaction to this experience? That's a good question. I think it's a very important one. See, it's not what life does to us that really matters. It's our reaction to what life does. See, life just does. Doesn't does it to you. It just does. Now, I know that's incorrect English, but I sure got your attention. You listening on the radio looking for something wrong. Yeah. Life just does. Life just happens. Doesn't it? Doesn't it just happen? And the sun comes up and, oh no, life is happening again. Doesn't it just happen? That does. See, I'm saying by a wrong reaction, we can change our wealth to want. We can change our strength to weakness, our blessings into a curse. And I think a lot of people are doing that. I wonder how many men that have come out of poverty and turn into money bag monsters, let's call them. How, by a wrong reaction, they change their wealth to want, and they never get satisfied. Never. See, but I'm saying by right reaction, we can change our want to wealth. How are you reacting right now to the change in your life? And it's going to change every day. See, we're the ones that don't want to change. Life does. Does what it's going to do, and that's it. How do you react to it as it comes your way? Huh? How do you react to change? Oh, I know, in our country, we need to change. All this marching for the poor, and how many is following that now? Everybody's marching for the poor. And all the suburbs, they're coming in, they're marching for the poor. I mean, you know. Comedians are out there and they're doing this and they're doing, and that's all great and everything, you know what I mean, but I wonder how long they'll bear that cross. So anyway, if by wrong reaction we can make our capital into calamity, I think then by right reaction, we can make our calamity into an unfailing capital. I mean, a real plan and a purpose in that plan. How wealthy can you be? I mean, how wealthy do you want to be in the economy of heaven? To take the bitter and the sweet and the unpredictable and the pleasant and the not so pleasant, take it as it comes. It's going to come anyway, folks. Here it comes. Life does. Well, doesn't it? Did you ever try to wholly, entirely direct your life? There's only one author and finisher, and there's only one director, folks. You don't have a whole lot to say about it. Oh, you can complain once in a while. But God knows what's best for us. Doesn't He? Do you believe that? Well, I do. But anyway, I say again, how did Simon react to this unwelcome experience? It was an unwelcome experience. He's going into town, he's going down there, and he wants to get into the smells and the sights and the you know, bugle blowing crowd down there. Well, he gets mad. How many in here get mad sometimes? You told me, you know, we're supposed to have been out of here an hour ago. How many get mad? Their wives want to say, hey, we're supposed to have been out here an hour ago. I mean, we might as well forget about going. I don't even want to go. So much turmoil and just going, just doing. Forget it. And your plans get changed. How many can just say, hey, you get mad? I'll say it. Oh, yeah, sure. And then what happens is you get resentful. Do you ever find yourself getting resentful? Yeah. See, you're halfway being healed when you can recognize those things. Stop them once in a while. I mean, 1 out of 10 at least. That's a pretty good average. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know what? He also realizes that his curiosity has caused this to happen. Oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming? Huh? Why, oh, why did I ever have to go? Huh? Oh, why didn't I head right on down to Main Street and Jerusalem Boulevard and have me a bowl of matzo ball soup? Now his gut God starts to talk. And I'm hungry. Do you ever have your plans changed when you have gut call? Food! The old gut's yelling. Food! You might have to change your plans. Well, sounds kind of simple, kind of basic, but let me tell you something. You take people's doggy bowl away from them and people's bowl away from them, they can get mean. I mean, oh, from a little taker on up until where you're at right now, when it comes time to eat, you can get kind of mean. And kids, I want to eat! Huh? And you end up wearing one of these helmets that look like one of these Gestapo police or something like that. Mom gets mad and dumps a bowl on her head, see? But anyway, he wants to do all. He said, oh, why did I have to go have a better good look and see? Why didn't I just go on? Now I'm stuck here. This ain't no fun. I didn't ask for this. See, he wants to throw down the cross and say, hey, I'm an African citizen. I have some standing. I'm a wealthy man. I'll have your shield, you Roman pig. Can't you see yourself wanting to say that? And so he's mad at Rome, and he's mad at the soldiers, and he's mad at the stupid, spitting crowd, and he's mad at Jesus for not being able to bear his own cross. But, you know, one look at this Roman soldier and those hounds of hell crowd makes him say to his smarter self. See, you got two selves, don't you? You have a smarter self and a dumber self. And so he talks to his smarter self. Be cool now. Carry the cross. Don't blow it. They might make another one up for you. How many know your smarter self cuts in once in a while? Just about when you're ready to blow it. I quit! I don't need this job. And your smarter self says, you do need this job. You better keep this job or your gut God won't get taken care of and the kids will all starve to death and you won't have nothing. It's hard times now. You need that job. How many have felt like saying in their lifetime, I don't need this job? How many are still working the same place? Yeah, that's your smarter self talking. And maybe it took you 3 or 4 jobs to get that smart, but to listen to smarter self. But he hates everybody now. You know, you can get so that you get so uptight with everything, you hate everybody. Do you ever have that feeling where you just hate everybody? And it makes it worse if you try to act religious when you hate everybody. And everybody you talk to, you got a negative thing to say back to them, and you got scriptures to back it up. Huh? A real nasty attitude. Can you relate with us at all? Or I'm talking about some sideshow freaks. No, this is us, folks. He hates everybody by now. I'm hungry. Do you like people when you're hungry? No. Did you ever see people in the grocery line? And they're waiting there, and you know, you feel like you're taking too long to write your checkout. You just feel like, I'm going as fast as I can, and the people are standing there. God forbid that you should not have your checkbook out and have the Rainbow Grocery Store written on it, and it's signed, and it in the ledger, the little number in there, and have all prepared, but you forgot, see? Hey, it's a dangerous place to be in between two carts. Some old great big hippopotamus of a man that wants to get home and chow down. Listen, and have that videotape on that he just bought over there. I observe people. You bet. I have my check written out, but when I get up there, it's... People are so uptight right now, I think we ought to have a little computer with us and have it all figured out. And have the check written out. Then have $4 or $5 extra dollars in your pocket. In case you're wrong, you can throw a couple bucks up there and then get out of there. Have you ever been that way yourself, though? You don't like nobody. See, anger, you know, is seldom reasonable. Have you ever known anger to be reasonable? The dishwasher gets it. Whammo! The stove gets it. The dog gets it. The walls get it. Your car. Everything catches it. Is anger reasonable? No, anybody's fair game when you're angry, folks. Well, can't be talking about me. No, I'm talking about myself. And maybe you can relate. I don't know. See, sometimes I think that we just become better actors and actresses and we hold it back and we quote scripture and everything, but it's there. Oh, yes, it is. Isn't it? Just try when you're angry and a mosquito lights on you or a fly. Huh? Don't feel sorry for that fly or that mosquito. Feel sorry for your arm if you're angry when you slap it. Create welts all over your whole body if you're in a situation where there's a lot of them. See, I'm saying you can be your own worst and most dangerous enemy when you become a madman. Ouch. So anyway, going towards Calvary, he is the most wretched, the most bitter man in the whole city. Dragging this cross up the hill. I didn't expect this. I didn't want this. Oh, no. Well, we all have crosses to bear, but some of them are such plastic, styrofoam crosses that we think we have. I mean, right? Somebody was supposed to come over to your house and they didn't show up. Oh, man. Huh? Hey, folks, you want to have people around you, just come on down the mission. You can have hundreds of them around you. Yeah, they'll always show up, too. Don't worry. I wonder where they are. They didn't come. So what? Less dishes to wash. Why don't people just get involved instead of sitting in little clicky groups? Hey, we got fellowship right down here in Fellowship City. Just fellowship right here around this great big old fellowship table, and then you'd be working while you're fellowshipping is working. I mean, if you're on a ship, doesn't everybody have to work? All the fellows on that ship have to work? Well, maybe I'm working it around, but hey, I got to make it work somehow. But anyway, going towards Calvary, he is the most wretched, the most bitter, I think, man in the whole city. You ever felt like you're the most wretched, most bitter person in the world? Well, you know what I mean, don't you? How many know what I mean when you just feel like, man, I'm a stinker today? Somehow he changed. Somehow, somewhere along the road, he changed. Well, what happened? He lost all of his bitterness. Hard to believe, but he finally took pride in bearing the cross. Sometimes you can take a burden on you don't even like. But after a while, it gets to be a burden of choice to you, and you're proud in carrying that cross. The more people yell at you and spit at you and curse you, the more you're going to carry it. How did it happen? I think Jesus spoke to him. And maybe it wasn't in words because they are not recorded, but maybe by looks. Maybe by countenance. Well, I would like to think it was words. I can't believe there were no words. In that it is, in the Bible, it is in a registered account. Well, here's the scene. We have a hot and angry Simon. And go back now, and he pulls Jesus roughly up as he bears a cross. Kind of like when you have to bear a cross and the kids are, you know, down on the floor. Get up here! Got the picture? I think that's when he started to change right then and there. Jesus said, sorry to cause you this terrible embarrassment. Now, if you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. Scripture. Thank you, Simon. Well, I know my sheep and I call them by their name, Jesus once said. You change. You're not the stinker that I once knew, huh? No need to tell me that it's true, huh? You're all over with your old self. Somehow, in the middle of this compelling force, divine force, that gives you the spirit of repentance, that puts it in your heart to be saved, that you can take no credit for anything, even the salvation of yourself, you change. You change. It's all over now. You've changed somewhere along that line. There is a compelling force, and you've been to it. Then when Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. Simon was left right then and there with a cross he would willingly accept the rest of his days. And probably he left there and he went home and he got down and two little boys jumped on his lap and said, Daddy, what happened? And he told them about his experience. And I'll bet every night after that, them two little critters were up on his lap saying, tell us a story. And they heard that story over and over and over again. Aren't we hearing it right now? Hasn't it been told over and over and over again? Doesn't it sort of quicken in your own heart? And it's talking about us. It's talking about bearing a cross. It's talking about taking on responsibilities you never thought you'd ever have to take on amidst all of this. It's talking about our nature on how that we don't want to bear a cross and change our plans. And you know what I mean? We just don't want to do that. We don't want to get into any of that. People, I think right now in closing, we need to cooperate with God and bear a cross, it says, daily. It's talking about I die daily. Well, there's got to be a cross to die daily. But listen, there's also a resurrection. The Bible says if you don't bear a cross, then you can't wear a crown. How will you react when God changes your plans? I think it's a matter of priorities, isn't it, folks? Now, I'm well aware that messages of 70 times 7 forgiveness and mercy enduring forever and messages about challenge and messages about grace abundant and messages about change and messages about priority are never popular because it interrupts our plans. But I mean, where are our priorities? Our priorities right now should be in the mercy and love and forgiveness, I mean, of everybody. Because you see, whatever that we give out, that which we give out, we're going to get back again. And I am seeing things right now where there's so little forgiveness between Christians. And they televise it on here, and I look at that and I thought, man, for the grace of God, there I am. I mean, for the grace of God, I could be Jim and Tammy, or I could be Schwager, or I could be Jerry Falwell. See, no one's immune from needing the grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. I would hate to be in a position where I was unforgiving and I couldn't sleep. When sleep won't come the whole night through, I mean, now we're talking serious. People need forgiveness and they need to be put on the road to. Mercy endures forever and you don't shoot the wounded, but even the people that shoot the wounded need forgiveness. Who suffers the most? Or anybody that just doesn't readily accept that they're a sinner saved by grace, and that's as far as they're going to get with it. And when they get that far with it, then the change starts to come day by day, stroke by stroke. You get, I'm talking strokes, chastisement. You change. God, we ever needed a message like we've been hearing for the last 8 or 9 weeks, we need to hear them now. You go on, you take these tapes out, you make up a mess of them, take them out and let them get around the suburbs or wherever they may go, because I'll tell you why. That's exactly what I feel like working right down in here in this north side. It's a welcome burden. It wasn't always welcome, but it's a burden right now that I want to carry. And it's funny about the human nature when somebody tells you, hey, lay down that cross and you've been carrying it a while. You take a certain amount of pride that you've carried it for so long, you ain't going to put it down. So there is a good pride in it. Hey, never, never, ever think that that your works and your things that you do go unwatched. God sees. And, you know, just deal with your own personality the best you can. You aren't perfect, but if you recognize that you have a lot lacking, then you aren't going to be too busy judging other people. Why don't they do this, and why don't they do that? And why? I never, and you aren't going to get into all of that. See, we all got crosses to bear, and it isn't all that bad. At least you got something to tell your grandchildren, right? Huh? I mean, you might not be the richest person in the world and have on your tombstone, he made a lot of money, but he had a lot of fun making it. Well, that's the end of my story today. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?